Welcome back to Cavaganza's Live. I'm Sykel, your host, the Cajun, un-Cajun, the truth, Carlo Broussard, Jean-Claude Broussard.
You must have read that email, man.
I did, but I can't say what it's about. You got to come to the conference to find out why
that
I'm
is correct.
Comparing him to Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Why would Cy Kellett be associating Carlo Broussard with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
I mean,
he was my hero, by the way.
Was he Jean-Claude Van Damme?
He was. I looked up to him so much when I was a kid, man.
He's
maybe not the best role model in the world.
No, maybe he is. I don't know.
But he was a fantastic martial artist, at least in the videos.
Yeah, he sure was.
I'm sorry. I interrupted your introduction there.
No, I don't even know what I was saying. I'm just glad you're here, Carlo. Carlo's the, in addition to being a big Jean-Claude Van Damme fan, he's also the author of three fantastic books, including his most recent book, Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet. And now we're going to talk about confession.
Yes.
The Bible blueprint for confession.
Indeed, we will. That's a great topic for, speaking of Hollywood stars, maybe there's some of them who would like to use the sacrament of reconciliation. Maybe they need some evidence for that.
That was quite a segue.
Yeah.
So why don't you name
Given
some,
certain movies
name some of the Hollywood stars that you think need to go to confession.
I am not going that route, brother.
Just name a few.
Some.
Yeah, the number is 888-318-7884, and it's remarkable how many Christian people do not believe that you need to confess your sins to anyone but Jesus, which
right.
I think is kind of amazing, because even if you don't believe in confessing to a priest, you are supposed to confess to one another. I mean, that's the very minimum.
James 5:16
like
does
literally
say that.
Says confess
right.
to one another. But give us a little bit of the Bible blueprint, and I should preface this with one more thing. Though many of those Christians who do not get why you have to confess to a priest are our brother and sister Catholics.
Many. I remember one time when I was sitting in church for a daily mass. This was quite some time ago. I remember a little old lady sitting in the back of me. And, you know, one of them said, yeah, you know, they're talking that Cajun accent, Michelle, you need to go to confession, sure, yeah. And then the other little old lady says, oh, no, sure, the Pope said we don't have to. And so it is true. The obstacle of confessing our sins to a priest is had by many, both within the boundaries of the Catholic Church and outside the boundaries. And of course, the reasons that Christians will give are pretty similar. You know, you'll have a Catholic or a Protestant say, I don't need to confess my sins to a priest. I can confess my sins straight to God. And whenever that assertion is made, there's half-truths there, right?
Sure.
And so in our conversations, we kind of have to take a step back and sort of unpack that statement and say, well, are you talking about venial sins? Because if you're talking about venial sins, then the church teaches, yeah, you confess your venial sins straight to God, make an act of contrition, the guilt of those venial sins is going to be removed. If you're talking about mortal sins in particular, well then, ordinarily speaking, you need to confess your mortal sins to a priest in the sacrament of reconciliation, but in extraordinary circumstances, it's possible to have the guilt of mortal sin removed from the soul with
sure.
perfect contrition in the soul. You know, God can administer those graces without the sacrament itself. If you're talking about just sin in general, I can confess my sin straight to God. Yeah, whenever you sin, confess to God, right?
Absolutely,
and
yes.
If it's mortal sin, do what you can to receive the sacrament of reconciliation. But for most, it's, well, Jesus never instituted the sacrament of reconciliation and never gave the apostles any sort of authority to forgive sins. Therefore, we need to just go straight to God, and there is no one on this earth who has the power to forgive sins like we say Catholic priests do. And so that's sort of where the rub is. That's where we sort of have to direct the conversation. And in that conversation, we can provide the evidence from sacred scripture, what we call the Bible blueprint, for the sacrament of reconciliation, that Jesus gave the apostles the authority to forgive sins. And of course, the classic text is John chapter 20, verse 23, where Jesus breathes, verse 22, he breathes on the apostles, which he's never done before. So that suggests this is a momentous occasion, something very unique that's being given to the apostles and not everyone else, right? Because he doesn't go and breathe on everybody else. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. So he's giving them the Spirit in a way that's distinct from the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost when, you know, the whole early Christian church is gathered there together. And so this is something unique. And he says, whosoever, as the Father has sent me, so I send you to do what? Whatever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whatever sins you retain, they are retained. And the common line of thinking here in the Catholic tradition is, well, if Jesus has given the authority, the apostles the authority to make the judgment whether to forgive or retain, that is to say, to forgive or not to forgive, implies that confession of sins would be made. Because how else would they know what the sins are, number one,
right,
and number two, whether the person is actually sorry for the sin? There would have to be some verbalization of the sin and the contrition for the sin. I mean, granted, God could give the apostles the extraordinary gift of reading souls like St. Pio had, but that's an extraordinary gift. That's not an ordinary gift. And so in virtue of the command itself to forgive and retain implies a judgment to be made, whether to forgive or not to forgive. And that judgment to forgive or not to forgive implies that they need to know whether they can administer the forgiveness of sins based upon the contrition of the person, of the sinner. And so there we have the institution of the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Now, our Protestant brothers and sisters have a variety of ways of responding and countering that Catholic argument from John 20, 23, and hopefully we can talk about some of those Protestant comebacks and rebuttals on our show today.
888-318-7884. By the way, you don't even have to be a Christian to call. If you don't believe in, if you believe there's some other way to forgiveness, you're welcome to call as well with your question. If you're one of our Protestant brother and sister Christians and you just don't accept this Catholic idea of confession to a priest, you're welcome. And if you're a Catholic who has questions about the Bible blueprint for the sacrament of confession, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Is the entire kind of foundation of the sacrament of confession just there in that one passage, or are there other things we can point to and say, well, these are relevant to this?
Yeah, so with regard to it coming from Jesus himself, that's the passage we turn to, John 20, 23. And the tradition has also read Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, as a scriptural reference to hint toward the sacrament of reconciliation, where Christ tells the apostles, whatever you bind and loose on earth is bound and loosed in heaven. The tradition has seen in those words also the administration, the giving of the authority or the power to forgive sins to the apostles. But John 20, 23 is clearer. We also have evidence from the early church practicing what appears to be the sacrament of reconciliation as recorded by James himself in James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And that's where James says, if any among you is sick, call in a presbyter, call in the presbyters, in Greek they're presbyteroi, from which we get the English word presbyters, or some English translations will have elders. And it doesn't seem it's just like call in the old guys of the Christian community, right?
No, it's more of a role than a
correct. Age. It's a ministry that is to be performed by members of the early Christian community, and they're to come and anoint the sick person with oil. St. James says they are to pray a prayer of faith, and if the sick person has any sins, his sins will be forgiven. And so that tells us that in the early church, it was a practice within the early church that if a sick person had sins, a prayer of faith would be prayed over him by a distinct member of the Christian community and sins would be forgiven. That's the sacrament of reconciliation right there. We have the anointing of the sick as well because oil is being used, but you have a prayer of faith prayed by a minister of the church through which sins are forgiven by of the penitent, right?
Right.
And so that would provide evidence that sacramental absolution was something present in the first century church, which sheds light upon or confirms our interpretation of John 20, 23, that this is what Jesus was giving the apostles in the upper room there on the night of the resurrection.
888-318-7884. You want to talk about the Bible blueprint for confession? Whether you agree or disagree, you're welcome to call. Maybe you accept fully what Carla says, but you got a question you'd like to answer for somebody about the Bible blueprint for confession. Or maybe you don't agree and you'd like to challenge some of what Carlo has to say. 888-318-7884. It is time for us to take a little break. We will do that right now. By the way, if you head over to shop.catholic.com, we do have a free ebook right now, and we usually generally try to have a free ebook for you if you visit shop.catholic.com. And right now, it's answering Protestant objections to Catholic teachings. So among them will be more conversation on confession, answering Protestant objections to Catholic teaching, available for free right now as an ebook at shop.catholic.com.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
I didn't take my faith seriously, which probably means I never really got it to begin with. No, I didn't want to give up sin. I mean, the reason we sin is because sin is fun. But it's self-love sin. But it's amazing with God's grace how easy trying to not sin it really is.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's an awful good Monday. Carlo Broussard, our guest this hour. And we're talking about confession. This is something that that most Christian churches around the world practice. If those, you know, if you can just consider Catholics and Orthodox,
right,
and others, but many Christian churches, at least since the 16th century, have rejected the sacrament of confession and say, nope, you just go directly to God. And certainly in the modern world, there are many people who have rejected the idea that you got to go to Jesus at all. You just go straight to God and your sins can be forgiven. If you'd like a little help with any of that, if you have objections, if you have some confusion about it, or if you'd just like some catechetical help, explain to me what it is we believe about confession, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
Yes, I think one thing before we go to calls here that's important to throw out on the table here is, you know, the idea that, well, I can just go straight to God, I don't need to confess my sins to a priest. We really don't find that logic or that way of thinking anywhere in the Bible. Like, for example, we don't apply that same line of reasoning to truth. We don't say, well, why do I need to go to a pastor to get the word of God preached to me when I can just go straight to God, right? We don't say it with regard to learning about God's revelation. We go to God's ordained ministers to get the truth of the knowledge of divine revelation. We don't just go straight to God. Yeah, of course, I ask God every day in prayer, Lord, please help me with my work today. Please give me insights in my research and in my study. But at the same time, I'm going to instruments that God uses to communicate that truth, right? We also don't find that in the Bible with regard to healing. We don't find like paralytics going straight to God and saying, hey, God, heal me, right?
Yeah.
We see God using Peter, for example, in Acts 3, to heal a paralyzed man. And God is the source and the power, but yet God wills to use Peter as a human instrument to communicate that particular blessing, in that case, namely physical rejuvenation of the body, right?
Right.
Or even raising people from the dead, right? Well, Jesus will give physical life through God. God does that in and through the humanity of the God-man, right?
Right.
So we see that principle of God using human instruments to communicate these blessings. If God can do that for these blessings, then it's at least reasonable for God to do that for the blessing of the forgiveness of sins, that God would use his ordained ministers in order to communicate the spiritual blessing of God's mercy, of the forgiveness of sins. And so, of course, the question becomes, did God set it up that way? And that's where the evidence from John 20:23 comes into play.
888-318-7884. We got an anonymous caller to start off in Indiana listening on Annunciation Radio. Anonymous, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question about confession for Carlo Broussard.
Hi, I have a question about, basically, I have friends who have kind of used confession almost like just a ticket out, and it's almost like they pre-plan, oh, I can just go to confession after I do X, Y, Z. So I'm just wondering, I mean, since it's technically true that, of course, you know, if you contritely confess, then your sin is removed or whatever, but how do I tell them, how do I talk to them about like why that's a bad idea to look at it that way, and how to not just keep going through that cycle of like sin, confession, and not right. really, I don't know, change your ways, I guess?
Sure, sure. Well, I think one thought that comes to mind, Anonymous, is there is a distinction to be made between sinning, going to confession, and being honest about it and putting forth the effort, right? And we just keep, because of our weakness, we just keep falling. But with God's grace, we keep getting back up. So that's one scenario, but that's different than somebody saying, well, I'm just going to go to confession tomorrow, so I'll commit this sin anyway, go to confession, and then the next weekend, well, I'll just go to confession the next day so I could commit this sin anyway. Notice the difference between the two is that in the first scenario, the individual has a firm purpose of amendment. They sincerely intend to rectify their lives and to no longer commit the sin. Whereas in the latter scenario, in the second scenario, the person doesn't seem to have a firm purpose of amendment. So given these two scenarios here, in conversation with your friends, Anonymous, you could simply say, hey, listen, if you don't have a firm purpose of amendment, if you don't actually sincerely intend to rectify your life and to no longer commit the sin, well then, you might be going through the motions, brother, but you ain't getting forgiven, right? There's the priest may give the absolution with the formula, but objectively speaking, like in reality, if that individual is deceiving the priest, right? He's praying the act of contrition, but in his heart, the person is not really contrite and is not sorry for the sin and really doesn't have a firm purpose to amend his or her life, well, then absolution is not going to be given, objectively speaking. Bottom line is, God's not going to wipe away the guilt of the sin. So you can explain to your friends that you need to have a firm purpose of amendment to change the behavior and to try and overcome the sin. Now, granted, the individual might say, oh, you know, I really do try, and I just can't seem to get rid of this sin. And that's possible, and those confessions would be valid. But based upon your description, it doesn't seem the individual is really having a good firm purpose of amendment if they're just simply saying, well, I can commit the sin anyway and just go to confession tomorrow. That implies they have a false understanding of the sacrament of reconciliation and what's involved. It's not magic, and it requires the heart to be involved. The person in his or her heart has to desire to turn away from sin out of love for Christ. And even if not perfectly out of love for Christ, maybe they're just fearing sin, that's sufficient as well for the sacrament of reconciliation. That's called imperfect contrition. But there does have to be sincere sorrow.
Anonymous?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for that.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very, very much for the question.
It's funny that she brought up the question, because I remember vividly a friend of mine back in Louisiana quite some time ago. I remember we were in the car, and he said that very same thing. Oh, I could just go to confession tomorrow or next week or something, because I think he was going to miss Mass on the Sunday because he wanted to go to the honky-tonk and listen to some Cajun music. And he was just like, well, I'll just go to confession next week. And so we had a little conversation about that.
What you're saying about the firm purpose of amendment, though, like the person, let's say I have a terrible gambling addiction.
Right.
And I go to confession and I want to be healed of my gambling addiction. Mm-hmm. But I'm not absolutely certain that I won't fall again. That doesn't count against the firm purpose of amendment.
No, not at all. Because just because you lack certainty, I mean, none of us are certain that we're never going to fall into mortal sin.
Right.
We can't have that certainty on this side of the veil. That can only come by way of special divine revelation and grace from God. But that's the whole point of the Catholic idea, that it's possible to lose our salvation, right? The Church teaches that we cannot have absolute certainty that we will remain in grace and finally persevere into the end of our lives.
Right.
So it's anyone who goes to confession, it's possible for that person to, after confession, to fall into mortal sin again,
right,
or for the first time. We don't have that absolute certainty. But that lack of certainty doesn't mean I don't sincerely intend to no longer commit the sin. It doesn't mean I don't sincerely desire to no longer sin anymore,
yeah,
right?
Right, that's my...
So what counts is right then and there, to have a sincere desire to rectify one's life, to not commit the sin again, regardless if I have knowledge or no knowledge of whether I'm going to commit the sin again.
Thanks, Anonymous. Really appreciate it. We're talking confession. We're talking the Bible blueprint for confession with Carlo, whether you are a believer in confession or not. If you have questions or challenges about the Catholic teaching on confession, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Now we go to Evansville, Indiana, watching on Facebook. Jim in Evansville. Hi, Jim. Got a question for Carlo?
Yes. My question is, what if you have not became Catholic yet? And you know you need to confess a sin, what is things that are available to you?
Okay, Jim. Well, first of all, I would say you get down on your knees and you beg for God's mercy and you ask God to give you the grace of what we call in our tradition perfect contrition. That is to say that to be sorry for the sin out of love for God. God, I love you, and because I've offended your love, I'm sorry for this sin. And so that would be my first thought, Jim. Just get down on your knees, or anybody out there listening, and beg for God's mercy. Now, if you're not a Catholic, then my recommendation would be to go to the local parish, talk to the priest, and say, hey, Father, I'm willing to receive the sacrament of reconciliation. I believe it. But the priest is going to ask you a few more questions, and he's going to say, well, do you intend to become fully a Catholic? And the reason, Jim, he's going to ask that question is because in receiving the sacraments in ordinary circumstances, receiving any of the sacraments is going to visibly testify to full communion with the church, right? You can't just like pick and choose some things of the church, like I want this, but not that Pope stuff over there. I'll take the sacrament of confession, but not the papacy or something. That's not how it works, because every sacrament is a public act of the church in and of itself. It belongs to the nature of the church. And so every sacrament visibly testifies, it speaks a language of one taking the whole ball of wax and everything that comes with being a Catholic. So if you go to receive the sacrament of confession, but you don't have any intention to becoming Catholic, well, then that would be bearing false witness. That would basically be a lie. You'd be saying, well, I'm visibly testifying to the idea that I'm in full communion with the church or seeking full communion with the church, but in reality, I'm not. And so that would be a lie. So if you're non-Catholic and you want the sacrament of confession, the answer would be to talk to the local priest about becoming a Catholic. And in that journey, Jim, of becoming a Catholic, once you're receiving the proper education and all of the formation that they're going to offer, in that journey, the Father will offer to you the sacrament of reconciliation. And if there is a pressing need for the sacrament of reconciliation, like you discover in that journey, oh my gosh, I'm guilty of mortal sin, and you say, hey, Father, can I have the sacrament now as I'm beginning this journey? In my mind and in my judgment, I don't see any reason why a priest would deny that individual the sacrament of reconciliation if there is good enough evidence that the person is intending to enter into full communion with the Catholic Church.
As long as the person's baptized, that's what you're...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, thank you for that qualification. Yeah. Baptist, I was assuming the individual is baptized, but baptism is indeed a prerequisite, a necessary condition in order to receive the sacrament of all of the other
sacraments. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. I just was kind of stuck. I go to a Lutheran church right now, and they have a form of the reconciliation, but it's not the same as in the Catholic Church.
And when are you planning on entering? Are you thinking about doing an RCIA process, or you know, this year, or what's the thinking, Jim?
Right now, I've been still discerning. I feel like I'm getting closer.
Okay.
But,
okay.
I just haven't got there yet.
Beautiful. Well, Jim, we would recommend, brother, that you check out our website if you haven't already, Catholic.com. We have a lot of free material that you can, articles that you can read, videos that you can watch, and we have a lot of stuff on the Sacrament of Confession as well. So if you're interested, check it out.
Okay, so is there anything else that we can do to help you, Jim, as you're discerning?
No, that was all I was wanting to find out about tonight. And also just wanted to say peace to both of you brothers. I really enjoy the show.
Oh, God bless you. Bless you. How about we send him a copy of your book, Prepare the Way? Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, that would be great, but perhaps...
You don't have to pay for it.
Well, I'm thinking Well, I'm thinking of what might be most beneficial for Jim.
Yeah, yeah.
So given that Jim is a Lutheran...
Yeah.
So Prepare the Way is sort of directed toward helping Catholics evangelize those who are unbelievers and skeptics.
Okay.
And given that Jim is a Lutheran, if I heard him correctly, maybe we can send him Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
Okay. Jim, I'd like to send you a book, so hang on. And if you want to give us your address, we'll send you Meeting the Protestant Challenge. And God bless you, brother. Thank you for your salutation of peace. It means everything coming Amen. From a brother Christian. And we hope we'll get you all the way home here soon. We'll be right back with more on Confession with Carlo Broussard.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
This is Dr. David Anders. Does the problem of evil keep you from believing in God?
Join us for Call to Communion tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking confession, the Bible blueprint for confession this hour. If you have a question about confession or you want to challenge us on the Catholic belief in confession, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. I got to say, though, our Protestant brothers and sisters taking it easy on us today. And nobody really, and I know Carlo, he's like, Si, be quiet. We don't, you don't cause trouble for me, but I don't have to answer the questions. So I do, I would, you know, you're welcome to call and say, hey, wait a second, you're missing this part of the Bible.
Sure.
You're missing that part of the Bible. We'd be happy to take that. 888-318-7884. As a matter of fact, I feel like I really got I heard something that you said that if you said it before, I missed it. And that was this whole idea of human mediation and so much of what God does in healings and raising people from the dead and all that. And that so that confession is not out of the pattern, the biblical pattern of how God works in people's life. It's in the biblical pattern.
Beautifully put. Yes.
I
really like the way you articulated that. It's within the biblical pattern of how God relates to us.
Yeah.
He communicates his blessings in and through human instruments. So the idea that we would go straight to God to receive the forgiveness of sins apart from his ordained ministers would be outside of the biblical pattern, even when we take into consideration the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, the idea of receiving forgiveness of God was not separated from the priestly ministry.
No.
It was associated with the priestly ministry.
Right.
Although in a different way
than
it's associated with the priestly ministry in the New Covenant, but nevertheless, it was associated with the priestly ministry. So, for example, if we read Leviticus 5:5-6, you know, we read about instructions about the guilt offering and the sacrifice to make atonement for sin. Well, who is involved in that sacrifice? The priest.
Right.
The individual is supposed to acknowledge his sins. He shall confess the sin he has committed, Leviticus 5:5 says. And what else? He shall bring his guilt offering to the Lord for the sin which he has committed, and the priest shall make atonement for him for his sin. So notice how in the Old Testament, God did not will to forgive the sins of his people apart from the ministry of his ordained priests, but associated the forgiveness of sins with that ministry. So that at least provides a biblical backdrop against which we can read John 20:23, where Jesus tells the apostles, whatever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whatever sins you retain, they're retained. First of all, that implies that he's making the apostles priests. They're receiving a priestly ministry to be associated with God in the forgiveness of sins. But this, and unlike the priestly ministry of the Old Testament, they're not to just offer a sacrifice as a sign of obedience for repentance or a sign of repentance. They are going to actually forgive sins. And that's the command that Jesus gives them in John 20:23.
888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. When you call, you'll be talking with, I don't know, she came all the way down from the big office. She works for Chris Check, the president. Emily, you're taking calls. Thanks for coming down and helping us, Emily. But really, we got to be on our best behavior.
Indeed we do.
Because Emily's here. So
and if we're not on our best behavior,
we'll have to go to confession. All right. But not to Emily.
That was a joke, listeners. It's not a ticket out.
888-318-7884. Let's go to Jody in Spokane, Washington, listening on 970 AM EWTN Radio. Jody, go ahead with your question.
Hello, and thank you for your show. I truly enjoy it. And,
thank you.
I'd like to know, on several occasions going to confession, I had been so engrossed in trying to make a heartfelt confession and listening to what the priest had to say, I would walk out and I can't remember my penance to save my soul. Does that null and void my confession?
The answer is no. Because your soul is already saved with the sacrament of confession itself. Remember, Jody, the sacrament of confession only deals, ordinarily speaking, it deals with the guilt of the sin. So whenever you confess your sins in the sacrament of confession and the priest gives you absolution, the guilt of those sins, whether mortal or venial, or remitted. It is remitted. It's taken care of. It's washed. What penance has to do with is the remaining debt of temporary punishment due for past forgiven sins, or dealing with some of the negative temporal consequences that sin incurs whenever we commit the sin. So unhealthy attachments to created goods, or just simply discharging any remaining debt of temporal punishment. That's what penance has to deal with. Kind of like, you know, the common example that's given, if the child breaks the window, you know, the father's right. going to forgive the child, the guilt is removed, but the child still does some sort of work in order to make up for the offense. That's analogous to the penance that we perform. So the validity of the confession, that is to say, having the guilt of sin removed in the sacrament of confession, is not dependent on one performing their penance. So if you forget your penance, Jody, then you can, you know, on your own, say some prayers, maybe some acts of penance somehow, some sort of mortification, however you want to do that, skipping a cup of coffee in the morning or not eating that second piece of cake, whatever it may be, or not putting sugar in the coffee, maybe just drinking it black, right? You can perform, you can impose upon yourself some form of penance, penitential action, and direct it, you know, offer it up to God and direct it to taking care of any remaining debt of temporal punishment due for sin that might be still due to you, right? After confession.
How's that, Jody?
So there's no consequence for me not doing what the priest said if I since go after and try to at least do something?
No, not at all. Because it was your forgetfulness, right? Was
right.
It was accidental. It wasn't like you weren't really responsible for your forgetfulness. Now there are some people who are just like, yeah, I get my penance and I don't care, and just go forth and go do something else and not really worrying about it. And that, you know, the Lord may look disfavorable upon them for their responsible forgetfulness, right? They're culpable for their forgetfulness. But in your case, Jody, I'm pretty darn confident that it's not culpable, right? And that you're sincerely seeking the Lord. And so that would be my recommendation.
All right. I appreciate it so much. Thank you very much.
All right, Jody.
Jody, I don't usually interfere, but I think Carla doesn't know something that Thomas Aquinas said. And this is kind of a famous thing from Thomas Aquinas. If you don't know what the penance is, just give $40 to Catholic Answers. I believe that was in the Summa. So if you
be careful, man. That sounds like selling indulgences or something.
Sorry. Never mind, Jody.
Martin Luther's going to come out the grave, brother.
Thanks for calling, Jody.
You bet.
All right. Bye. Maybe 50.
You sound like my dad, man.
Sorry.
He'll often say, you want one? I'll say no. He said, you want two?
Funny. I'm going to do that. I'm going to annoy my children with that. 888-318-7884, the number. I want to get to somebody from CJ called from Evansville, Indiana, and his phone was dying, and he asked if we would ask you on the air, Carlo.
Okay.
Why is it that we have to confess mortal sin and not venial?
All right. Well, the church teaches the sacrament is primarily ordered toward taking care of mortal sin, because that's the ordinary means that Jesus set up in order to take care of mortal sin. The guilt of venial sin is taken care of with private contrition, without the sacrament. And so that's just basically the primary target for which Jesus set up the sacrament of reconciliation. That's not to say that mortal sin cannot be forgiven apart from the sacrament. It can, in extraordinary circumstances, on condition that one has perfect contrition. But in ordinary circumstances, the primary target is mortal sin. Now, that does not mean, I shouldn't take to the sacrament of reconciliation my venial sins. We ought to, and the church encourages us to do that, to confess our venial sins in the sacrament, even though the guilt of those venial sins probably have already been remitted and forgiven through private acts of contrition. And the reason, and there are several reasons that the church gives for that confession of venial sins, even though they're forgiven outside of the sacrament, and there are certain spiritual blessings. Our listeners can check out paragraph 1458 in the Catechism. Forms our conscience, helps us fight against evil tendencies, lets ourselves be healed by Christ, to achieve progress in the life of the Spirit, to be spurred to be merciful as God is merciful to us. There are spiritual benefits that come with confessing our venial sins in the sacrament, even though the guilt probably has already been remitted through private acts of contrition prior to going to the sacrament. And as St. Thomas Aquinas would teach us, is that whenever we employ the sacrament of reconciliation, it is an act of humility. And so inasmuch as you confess your sins to the priest, even venial sins, and the guilt has already been remitted, it's a form of penance. You're actually taking care of some remaining debt of temporal punishment due for sin, because it's a humiliating act, right? Yes. You're exercising the virtue of humility. So it's an act of atonement is what it becomes. So there is great spiritual benefit in using the sacrament of reconciliation, even only for venial sins, when the guilt of those venial sins are probably already forgiven, private acts of contrition.
CJ, I hope that addressed your question. I thank you very, very much for the question. We got to take a quick break. We got a few more calls we're going to get to, and if you haven't dialed yet and you'd like to ask a question, we probably have time to get to more than what's on the line. So 888-318-7884. We're talking confession, the Bible blueprint for confession. If you have questions about the Catholic sacrament, the Christian sacrament of confession, Christ's foundation of that sacrament, and the use of the sacrament today, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. I'll remind you again, it's Manic Monday. I don't know, we got this new thing where we've got these alliterated days. I don't know what something is going to be a T tomorrow for Tuesday. I don't know what it is, but Manic Monday means you get, I don't even know why this is Manic Monday, you get 50% off on any class at the School of Apologetics at shop.catholic.com. That doesn't seem manic at all, but that's what we're calling it, Manic Monday. 50% off School of Apologetics up until midnight tonight, Hawaii time, at shop.catholic.com.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with program info, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. Just go to ewtn.com/wings. Fill out your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. When you get yours, send it to all your friends, and they can send it to their friends. And pretty soon, we're covering the whole world with the good news about EWTN. Wings, the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Bible Blueprint for Confession this hour with Carlo Broussard. Tomorrow we got 2 hours of open form, and I believe it's Tim both hours. Does that sound right, Darren? Tim Staples both hours tomorrow. The number here is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Waco, Texas, listening on 98.3 FM. Mark, thank you very much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Carlo.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to both of you for taking my call. I've tried to look this up before, but I wasn't certain about the answer. But I'm a Catholic convert. I'm in my early 50s, and in my late 30s, I converted to Catholicism. And
awesome.
I love the sacrament of confession.
So, amen, brother.
I've been reading some about some of the early church fathers and some of the things that they talk about, and it seemed that some of the early Catholics would confess their sins to the congregation. May have also been confessing this to the priest. And I love Roman history, and I remember there was like a story of Theodosius the Great, who was, you know, a Roman emperor in the late 4th century, that actually had a bunch of people murdered. I won't go into that. But Ambrose of Milan basically made him stand outside of the church in sackcloth and ashes begging for forgiveness for,
yeah,
I think it was months before he would let him back into Mass.
Sure.
So things were pretty harsh back then, but, you know, nowadays we confess sins typically in a confessional and privately. Right. When did we start doing that historically, and why did we do that?
Yeah, so the answer to the first question as to when we historically started doing that, the Catechism points out in paragraph 1447, Mark, that it was during the 7th century when Irish missionaries, it says, inspired by the Eastern monastic tradition, took to continental Europe the private practice of penance. So we locate the private practice of penance in the 7th century, 600s. I am unable to go into more detail with regard to the historical development of the private practice of penance. I admit I'd have to do some more research on that, but you have the Catechism locating it in the 7th century. As to why the church developed that practice, the Catechism goes on to give a short answer to that question, at least a beginning answer. It states this in the same paragraph number: this new practice envisioned the possibility of repetition and so opened the way to a regular frequenting of this sacrament. It allowed the forgiveness of grave sins and venial sins to be integrated into one sacramental celebration. So for the sake of repeating the sacrament often, and as St. Thomas Aquinas teaches in the supplement to his Summa Theologiae, question 11, article 1, so that penitents could become more attached to the sacrament. Given the, I guess, the ease of private confession,
right,
versus public confession, one would be more inclined to be attached to the sacrament and therefore seek it more frequently. And so this is one of the pastoral reasons why the church adopted this practice of private penance. And we can all imagine that I doubt people would be using the sacrament once a week if it were public confession like it was for the first 500-600 years, right? And so it's a great good.
Right.
This is a disciplinary precept that has been adopted within the church that's definitely for the good and for the greater use and attachment to the sacrament of reconciliation. So that's paragraph 1447 in the Catechism, Mark. And then you might want to check out the supplement to the Summa Theologiae by St. Thomas Aquinas in question 11, article 1. He deals with that.
Okay, Mark.
All right. Thank you so much for your answer.
All right. Thank you. And the church, I mean, the form of the sacrament being kind of brought indoors, that is, the moving from what was kind of something more dramatic to something that could be more regular.
Right.
This is within the binding and loosing power of the church to do that.
Yeah, the binding and loosing power connotes or conveys judicial authority, right?
Yeah.
So the sacraments are gifts that Christ has entrusted into the care of the magisterium of the church. So the Pope and the bishops in union with the church have that authority to govern the use of these gifts. And whether we use this particular gift of the Sacrament of Reconciliation in public or in private is something that it is within the authority of the Pope to determine. And we see this in the early church. It was one way. Now it's another way. Thank God. But as far as the public confession goes, you brought this up earlier in James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins one to another. And so in the early church, confessing of sins involved public confession. That was the norm.
Right.
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 But that's not to say it didn't involve a presbyter. So you could have the public confession within the community, but you would also have the presbyter presiding over the community
right.
to administer absolution. And so public confession of sins in no way is incompatible or conflicting with the idea of the priest administering sacramental absolution. Because for many of our Protestant brothers and sisters, they will appeal to James 5:16 and say, you see, it says confess your sins one to another. So the previous verses 14 through 15, where it talks about sins being forgiven through the prayer of faith by the presbyter, can't be referring to the sacrament of reconciliation because that's not private confession, it's public confession. Well, from the Catholic perspective, public confession is not incompatible with sacramental absolution.
No.
You can have both together. In fact, both together was the norm for the Christian church. For 600 years or so, yeah.
Thanks again very, very much for the question. Let's go to Lori now in Houston, Texas, listening on 1430 AM. Lori, thanks for your question, for your call. Go ahead with your question. Hi, Lori.
My question was...
Oh, go ahead.
Hi.
Sorry, go ahead.
My question was, I am a cradle Catholic, and... have been going to communion without going to confession for 40 years and just returned to the, the meat and potatoes of Catholicism.
Beautiful.
Because I hadn't stopped going to church, but I hadn't been to confession in over 40 years.
Yeah.
And I decided at Easter time would be a good time to go. And the more I listened to Carlo and you guys, the more I find out, man, that's a mortal sin. I've not been going to confession and receiving communion, and I didn't know that.
Okay.
So, wait, are you clear on the question then?
I think. So, okay. Lori, your question would be, what do you do once you come to the realization of something being a mortal sin?
Well, once I remember that I had a mortal
yeah.
sin, and I thought that I had, because the first time I went to confession in 40 years, I got out my list and I started
yeah.
listing them. And since it was right before Easter, the priest kind of said, like, you know, he didn't say speed it up, but
make it well, more general. Get, right.
Right. Because there's a lot of people waiting.
Okay.
There's a lot of people waiting. And I'm listening to you guys and I go, okay, what if I don't remember any other mortal sins?
Got it.
Am I still supposed to remember everything for 40 years?
Lori, let me just ask something. I'm going to send it to Carla. Did you try to make a good confession? Was that your intention, to confess everything?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so there. Don't worry, Lori. That you did not remember mortal sins whenever you came back to the Sacrament of Reconciliation in no way invalidates your confession. The guilt of those mortal sins are taken care of. They were indeed removed with that one sacrament that you received. So you don't have to worry about that, okay? And the same would apply with regard to any sins, any mortal sins you may have committed even after that sacrament of reconciliation when you returned back to the church. Maybe you committed a mortal sin, but you now just are discovering, oh my goodness, that was a mortal sin. And I didn't confess that in my returning back to the church. So what do I do? Well, remember, Lori, in order for a sin to have a mortal effect in the soul, that is to say, to destroy charity in the soul, in order for you to be guilty of a mortal sin, you have to have full knowledge and deliberate consent that the sin is gravely immoral. But if you didn't know it was a mortal sin, well, then you would not have incurred the guilt of mortal sin because you didn't have full knowledge, assuming that you weren't responsible for your lack of knowledge that it was gravely immoral. And so you would only be venially guilty for the sin rather than mortally guilty for the sin. So with regard to that, you don't have to fret. Now, taking all of that into consideration, even if you come to an awareness that what you committed in the past was a mortal sin and you didn't explicitly say it in the Sacrament of Reconciliation, the Church still highly recommends and encourages us to take those mortal sins to the Sacrament of Reconciliation and confess them. Not that you would have the guilt of mortal sin removed, because that's already been taken care of, but for the sake of making it an act of penance. Because as I said earlier, Laurie, in the broadcast, I don't know if you were listening, but whenever we take our sins to the Sacrament of Reconciliation and confess them, even though the guilt of those sins has already been removed, that act of confessing the sins becomes a penitential action, whereby remaining debt of temporal punishment due for sins can be discharged. And you can take care of unhealthy attachments, and God gives us those graces to heal the certain wounds within the soul that sins create within us. So, bottom line is, Lori, you become aware of that mortal sin, go ahead and take it to the Sacrament of Reconciliation and confess that sin. And you can even tell the priest, you know, I know I'm already forgiven for this, but I'm confessing it anyway for the sake of a penitential action. Or you don't even have to say that. Just confess the mortal sin, and you know that it's for the sake of penance and taking care of any remnants of sin from that sin committed long ago. Does that help, Lori? Am I being clear for you?
Oh, it helps greatly. It relieves me also, because every time when I went to confession this past Friday, I made the priest laugh. He went, because I said, I don't know if I remembered this, but I came, you know, a couple of months ago, and I've been coming every about once a month.
Yeah.
Anyway, when Jody, the previous lady caller, called and she said she walked out and she couldn't remember her penance, I had the same problem.
Right.
And I was like, I'm not going to stand in line and do it again.
Yeah, well, you don't have to do that. And in your case, Lori, this is a different situation. This is forgetting a particular sin. And in your case, you said a particular mortal sin. So it is a little bit different. But bottom line is, on condition that you weren't responsible for forgetting that mortal sin, the guilt of that mortal sin would already have been remitted, but still take it to the sacrament to take care of the remnants of sin. And for our listeners, they can check out St. Thomas Aquinas and what he has to say on this in the supplement to the Summa Theologiae, Question 2, Article 3.
Lori, I'm so grateful for your call. We just ended on a joyful note with you.
Thank you.
It's just so beautiful to be back in the pattern of going and to receive
Amen.
Confession and all the graces that the Church has to offer. God bless you. Will you pray for us, Lori?
I will pray for you. You pray for me.
Praise God, sister.
No sin gang.
Thank you very, very much. Hey, tomorrow we got Tim. He's going to come in and do 2 hours of open forum. But just let him try to beat this hour. Just let him try. Carlo Broussard, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me, Si. It was a blast.
The
man.
Jean-Claude Van Damme of apologetics. That does it for us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.